Before we start, let's go to God in prayer. Dear God, we thank you so much for the Lord's Day and the beauty of it this morning, the sunshine you created. Be with us. We study your word, this book, Ephesians, and help us learn and always study at home and try to learn your word better as the days go by. Be full of the sick here at New Lex Church and so many. We pray you would storm their health if it be your will. And thank you for Jesus and help us win souls. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we started, I believe, in chapter 2. I didn't mark what verse. Dave, did you mark what verse I stopped?
No.
Okay, it don't matter. We're going to start in chapter 2 anyway. Paul wrote this book, Ephesians, and we'll just, I'm going to read the last 20, 21, 22, and 23 of chapter 1, then we'll get into chapter 2. Chapter 1, Ephesians, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of all, him that filleth all in all. Those four verses tells us a lot, don't it? I just want to briefly go over them, and we'll get in chapter 2. You know, if the world today would look at them verses and really take it to heart, you can see here why it shouldn't be so many confusion in the world. God raised him from the dead, and if you ask a lot of people in the world today, they'd say they believe that. A lot of them don't, but they believe that Christ rose from the dead. A lot of them doesn't, but he's far above all principalities, that's powers and authorities. It says, verse 21, power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. Every name on earth that's ever been named and will be named, not only in this world, it says, but also in that which is to come. That's someday in heaven. Anywhere you look or anything you can think of, Christ is the head of every name. So why shouldn't we put a lot of thinking into what the name of the church is, why the church is, and what it means. Verse 22, God has put all things under his feet. Everything that pertains to our souls and religion is under Christ's feet, and gave him to be the head. He's the head over all things to what? The church. And if Christ's head of the church and he has all authority, how's come we can't do what he wants us to do in our worship today? Why is there so many different thinkings on how to worship? I tell you, Christ is the head and he has all authority. And someday he's going to take it into judgment why people did not do what he says instead of what we want to do, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Christ, the body is the church, his body. Very important verses there. Now let's get in chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. There. You hath he quickened. Quickened. We were all dead at one time in sins, wasn't we? Spiritually speaking. And he made us quick and alive when we obeyed the gospel and became members of his church. We're in times past, verse 2, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. What's he saying in verse 2? In time past, that's past, you walked according to the course of this world. What's he talking about? Anyone want to answer that?
At one time, we all walked according to the Lord, or to the devil, more or less, and he made a way for us to come to God.
Okay, yes. The course of the world, the way the evil and the way that Satan wants us, according to the prince. Who's that? Is that? Yes. The prince of the power of the air. Devil and Satan has a lot of power, but he don't have any more than we give him. We want to remember that. We can't say, the devil made me do it. We can't say that because that's impossible. We don't want him to. We have to resist him, though. I believe it's in James. James said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Yes, we have to stay in prayer, don't we, a lot? The Bible says pray without ceasing. And it's not easy to not give in sometimes. We have to be on our guard. Prince of the power of the air, verse 2, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Satan works in the children of disobedience, among whom, verse 3, also we all, Paul said we all had our conversation in the time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Here we have Paul saying we all. Paul said him also, we all had our conversation in the time past. In the lust of the flesh, that's doing fleshly things is not right for God. Giving in to temptation is not right. Fulfilling the desires. We all have desires that's fleshly, and we have to watch the sinful things and pick the good things that we can do as Christians. And of the mind. The mind can think so many things that's not right. And that can do anything to us. I mean, we all have wrong thoughts. There's not a person walking on earth I don't think has a bad thought at times. It comes to you, but we have to change it and think differently. We can't dwell on something that's sinful, can we?
The mind is like the tongue. It's the two wickedest things we have.
Yeah.
The tongue and the mind.
Yep.
We control them now. We can live a close spot.
Yeah. That tongue is hard to control. James said it's impossible to tame the tongue completely. No man can tame the tongue. We have to watch and how we say things. And it's not easy. He said, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, whatever that sinful things are, and of the mind, that Dave just said, the mind. Control our thoughts, try to, and when something wrong is not right, we try to change that. We don't sit around dwelling on it. Things we've quit in times past, maybe. If an alcoholic, he maybe quit and started and became a Christian. He wouldn't want to set a bottle of whiskey in front of him just all the time and stare at it. You have to get rid of those things. Overcome the temptation. By nature, the children of wrath. God does have wrath if we don't obey Him. His wrath is being the judgment someday. When we all stand before Him, if we're not right for God, it'd be a sad day, won't it? Let's look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, there it is. Now, we talked about the wrath of God there a little bit and the lust and everything, how we have to change. Now he says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. He loved us when we wasn't Christians, didn't he? Not what we did, or not what people do. He still loves them, but he wants them to come and repent and become children of his. As Christians, I don't think we want to have bitterness toward people that's not Christians. We'll never draw them to Christ. We don't like what they do, all these things going on in the world, but we have to teach them in love.
thinking. We was once just like them. They was doing nothing, no more than what we did when we was lost.
Pardon?
We was just like them. That's what we got to get in our mind.
Yeah.
We, one day before we said to Christ,
right,
we know better than they are.
Yeah. We're all sinners. We're all sinners. And like I said, there's some things that really bother me. It goes on, all the sinful things you hear on TV. But still, if we're going to teach them, we can't just be downing them and throw them out the door because they're not what we think we ought to be. We have to teach them. Then we have to teach them to turn away from all those things. Or we'll turn them further away. There's a very easy point there we have to watch here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Christ loves the dope addict. He loves the homosexuality. He loves all those people. But we can't continue in them if we become children of God. We have to do away with those things and love Him. But we have to teach them, people, or they'll turn further away if we don't watch what we say at the time. We want to teach them to come to God and be saved and go to heaven. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened, verse 5, made us alive, us together with Christ, by grace you are saved. We're saved by grace, His favor, something we don't deserve. That's part of it, not all of it. We can't say we're saved by grace and that's all we have to do. That doesn't work. There's too many scriptures that tells us what all we need to do. Holly puts this in the bulletin every week, what to do be saved. And we can't leave one out or add to it and expect to be God's child because it won't work. Let's look at verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us up together. What's He saying there? I believe He's talking about baptism. When we're raised to walk newness life, let's look in verse chapter 6. We all probably know these verses. Verse 6 of chapter Romans, chapter 6. Tyler, would you mind reading verse 4, please? Chapter 6 of Romans, talking about how we're raised. Romans 6, 4.
Backwards. Therefore, we are buried with them by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also should we walk in newness of life.
Okay. Read verse 9, please.
Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death hath no more dominion over Him.
There's other verses that tells us how we're raised with Christ. But if you study them verses, that's what He's talking about in this verse, I believe. When we're raised, has raised us up together. He's talking about raising up from baptism. And made us, verse 6 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Heavenly places. Isn't that a wonderful verse? That in the ages to come, that's now and on towards the future, ages to come, it says, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace. His grace. Wonderful word, grace. In His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Everything is through Christ, isn't it? When He died for us. Christ made it all possible for us to be saved and go to heaven. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. We're saved through grace and faith and other ways. And that not of yourselves. What's He saying in the last part of that verse? It's not of yourselves. It is what?
A gift of God.
Gift of God. Grace is a wonderful gift, isn't it? We don't deserve it, do we, Dave?
No.
We don't deserve his gift.
We'd end up in the earning either.
Right. And we can't earn it by just doing being good or doing every good work we can possibly do and expect to go to heaven. We're going to see that in a little bit. What's he saying, verse 9? Someone want to read it? There's many people in the world that does wonderful good works. Probably a lot more than I do. It's not even in the church. They do good works. And I love to do good works. But there is people that travel and take food everywhere and they're busy all the time and do good works. And that's wonderful. That's wonderful to do those things. But we can feed people right here next door if someone needs food. But what I'm saying is, all the good works will not get us to heaven. It's obedience to God and good works. We've been studying that in James. Not of good works, lest any man should boast. No one should boast of their good works. And they'll say, well, you can't get to heaven on good works, but we can't get to heaven without doing good works either. James tells us that. Verse 10, for we, here's our answer to good works. Someone want to read verse 10, please.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Okay. There, if we're not supposed to do good works, then what's he saying here? We are his workmanship. That's like handiwork. We're supposed to help him do the works. After we become Christians, God wants us to work and do good works. Without good works, it's impossible to please him. And faith without works, James said, is dead.
Tom, we are saved to be a service to God.
Yes.
I had a particular verse there. I remember hearing a lesson one time. They used the example of how we use clay. And we're talking about how we're all considered as clay, but clay is modeled after how, like it says, we are a workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We're all clay, and we're all modeled, you know, all formed in there, but we're after Christ to do the good works, and we're like clay.
Yeah.
But we're actually used the pattern.
Yeah, I'm going to read a few verses. We all been studying James on Wednesday. James said, verse 24, 5, and 6. I'll read those verses from James chapter 2. James said, ye see how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. Here's the key verse. For as the body without the spirit is dead. We know when the body dies, the soul leaves, the body's dead, isn't it? This body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. It takes faith and works after we become a Christian to please God, doesn't it? But he's not saying we're saved by works alone. It's faith and obedience. That in the ages, verse 7, to come, he might show the exceeding riches of the grace of his kindness. His grace and riches, it's rich, isn't it? It's kind toward us through Christ Jesus. Only through Christ we can become his children. Ourselves a gift to God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And of course, when we do good works, we shouldn't boast about it and go around, I did this, I did that. That's not what we're supposed to do. Them. Let God give him the praise, not ourselves. And he'll bless us for doing those things. We get a blessing by when we know we've done something good, I believe. Always the song we sang, Let Your Light Shine. And I don't know who it was, Delbert or someone one time said, you let your light shine, you don't shine your light.
You know, if we do something for somebody and they say thank you, I think we should say back, don't thank me, thank God.
Yeah, that's a good point. For we are his workmanship, and we went over that, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that we should walk, what? In them, walk in good works. Wherefore, remember verse 11, that ye, being time past, Gentiles in the flesh, remember we're talking about Gentiles and Jews back then, and it says here, remember that ye in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision in the flesh, but made by hand. We studied that in Galatians, if you remember that. So we won't get in all that right now. Jews and Gentiles. And remember how Paul had to go and straighten them out, or Peter, wait a minute, Paul, had to go and straighten them out by, they thought they were saved by circumcision. You had to be circumcised to be saved. We went through all that. That was a good book, Galatians. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ. When we're, before we become Christians, we don't have Christ at all, do we? And this world, I'm sorry, but it is without Christ. A lot of the world have turned away from the Lord. And if you turn away from God, you're without him. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, they was going by the old law, having no hope. You know, it'd be terrible not to have any hope, wouldn't it? And I believe we can have hope. I talked about this a few weeks back. We can have hope in the Lord if we obey him. Hope. Without him, there's nothing, is there? And that can strengthen us. Having no hope, verse 12, and without God in the world. God's here, but if we don't have hope, if we're not in him, then we're without God. But now, he says in verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off, without Christ, he's saying, you're far off, you're out there, no hope. What's he saying? You are made nigh or close by the blood of Christ. Before Christ died in his precious blood, no one had any hope. You remember Tony, when Tony said he had that crucifixion sermon on Sunday morning, and someone said, stop, Jesus, don't do any more. And Jesus told what he's getting at. Jesus said, I got to finish it or you'll have no hope. Jesus had to finish himself dying on the cross or we'd have no hope. We'd be lost. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes were far off or made nigh by the blood of Christ. 14, for he, who's he? Want to read that, someone, 14?
For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of portion between them.
Okay, what's he saying there? He's our peace. And I guarantee you, you're not going to get peace in this world if you listen to everything.
It's about like having a best example. It would be like when we have a property that our house, a lot of has a fence between the properties. And they're talking about here, like here it talks about, it says, you know, about peace that has made but one, has broken down the middle wall. Well, it's like where that fence is there on through the middle of the property. It's talking about take that fence and get it away and join it as one. Take it away. And that way, we're joined together.
Yeah.
And we're all as one.
Okay.
And it's gone. And it's like they're calling it the wall here. But I just use an example with a fence, because a lot of us do have fences around our house.
Okay. Yes, we shouldn't have anything between us. We should be. And he's saying here, he is our peace. If we want peace of mind, it's only in the Lord, isn't it? And we're still going to have a lot of problems and trials. And That's not going to fix everything, but we can have peace through our God for doing His will. Has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I think he's talking about the old law. He took away out, broke it down, took it away, and we're all supposed to be one now. The middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments. There it is. That's the old law. He abolished it when he died on the cross. The law of commandments and ordinances, for to make him himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He destroyed all the old law. It's there for our history. It's good to read and learn, but we don't go back and do things in our worship or anything like that. It's good to learn. It's for our learning, it says. But he took that out of the way, verse 16, and that he might reconcile, bring us back together, both unto God in what?
One body.
I don't see where that's so hard to understand. That he might reconcile, that's bring us all back together as this world in religion and everything unto God. Now he's going to bring us back. It says he wants us back to God in what? They said one body. Not 100 different ways. He wants his way. By the what? Cross. He went to the cross and that done away for all those things. When he died, the church was established on the day of Pentecost. Having slayed the enemy thereby, and came and preached peace to them which were far off and to them that were nigh. That's Gentiles. For through him, verse 18, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Day of Pentecost, when they's all baptized, they received the Holy Ghost. Verse 19, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built, verse 20, and we'll stop there on verse 20, and are built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, who being the chief cornerstone. Who is it?
Christ.
There you go. Thank you. Christ. It's not man, it's not popular man, it's not important man. Christ, we got to look to Him and worship Him and God, not men, or not put other men up on pedestals or anything. We're supposed to put Him first. Read that again. Are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Remember, the apostles preached what God wanted them to, and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Not Peter, not Paul, Jesus Christ. I'm going to look at verse 21. We just have a couple minutes. There's another verse. Might as well finish this chapter, but we'll have a little review next week. Verse 21 and 22. Would someone read that, please?
In Him all the buildings framed together grow up into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom ye also are building together for the habitation of God through the Spirit.
Okay, thank you. What's he saying in 21? In whom, that's Christ, isn't it? He's talking about the Lord Christ, all the building. And that's not this physical building we're talking about. It's the building that God's people are builded together for an habitation or dwelling place of God through the Spirit. I got ahead of myself. In 21, he says, in whom all the building fitly framed together. You look, I don't know what all the versions says. I've looked at a few of them, but I'm reading from King James. What's another? Someone got a different from King James? You got King James? Anyone got a different one? If you want to. Sometimes I go to two or three different ones, but I stick to King James, but I like to see what the other one said. In whom all the building fitly framed together. Tyler's going to look, see what fitly is in New King James or New International or one of them. Framed together grows in a holy temple in the Lord. In whom we, verse 22, and ye also are builded together in the habitation of the Lord, of God through the Spirit.
But that 50 filth means that there'd be no cracks.
Yeah, and it'd fit right.
Yeah.
God's church or Christ's church is supposed to be fitly framed together. That means it's done, everything's done the way God wants. It's not, I do this, or I believe that. Well, you believe this, I believe that. That's not the way God intended for it to be.
Christ's church is perfect.
Just, yeah, the people's not, but His Word is. Same way, fitly framed together, everything should fit and do what God, His Word says to do, pertain to the Bible and the Word of God. We're about done there for this week, and we'll have a little review and maybe get in chapter 3 next week of Ephesians.